Chapter 15, Section 3, The Grand Mistake. This is known as the spiral of death, and it is one of the most commonly repeated mistakes in business. It's also a company killer. Let us assume that the shift from product to utility, what I describe as the war, is upon us, and we're in the position of rent extraction from a legacy. Capital is already flowing from our industry into new industries, whether more evolved utilities or higher order systems that have been created on top of this. We are watching this marvelous new world forming, but we are on the sidelines. The good news is we're maintaining our position for now through some form of sweating play. You're going through the fairly difficult time of constantly cutting costs in order to restore profitability and return dividends, even though revenue is declining. You may be acquiring and performing more of the same. It's a tough spot, especially when you look at spectacular growth elsewhere. Your problem is the revenue will continue to erode due to evolution in the value chain. You need to somehow respond by adapting and possibly moving up the value chain despite the resistance and any inertia created by your legacy customers, your sales data, and often your own people. But the financial markets are demanding more, and you know you're going to have to cut deeper. It's a bit miserable, but there is a path to the future. The grand mistake is that we tend to cut away exactly the things we need to create that future. In any layoffs, for example, it is very easy to use metrics based upon performance in the past world and therefore remove those seen as less successful in that previous era. That doesn't sound too bad, but the result is you end up with a higher density of people successful in the past models, which are now in decline due to evolution, and hence you'll tend to reinforce your cultural inertia to change. Whoops. Unfortunately, we also tend to remove the radicals, the troublemakers, and the pioneers. Again, that doesn't sound too bad because we've got to become more efficient. Unfortunately, those often annoying people are also the ones most likely to stick a soldering iron into a pot of ink, create inkjet printers, and save the company. Whoops again. To compound this even more, we often cut far deeper than we need because we reward those with past success in order to retain them. In our effort to keep the past going, we've cut away those very things which might give us a future. Our revenue then declines further, and the spiral continues. Much of this spiral of death played out in RIM as it attempted to cut costs, return to profitability, reinvent the past, and found itself lacking in the capability it needed to create a future. In the most ironic examples, you often hear companies that have undergone aggressive cost-cutting talk about their need for talent, often as the war for talent, in order to create a future and how they want to transform, for example, be more like Netflix. The irony is, if they actually ask Netflix where they got their talent from, they will often point back at the very same companies with the line, "We got it from you." I have sat in that room listening to an executive talking about building a future team like this or that Silicon Valley group, whilst knowing that the very same team that the executive proclaims as the future was made redundant by the company 18 months previously. In the worst cases, the very team that was carelessly disposed of cannot now be literally afforded. In one case, I was even asked how much it would cost to rebuild Fandango with the original team. Today, given that many are millionaires and some run unicorns, an eye-watering sum. So let us assume that as a canny CEO that you're not only playing the game to buy time, but you're being careful not to invoke the spiral of death by reinforcing your own inertia and removing the radicals that might save you. What are you playing for? The lucky break.